came into being is in you. Wow. That's pretty awesome. Thank you for coming. You're dismissed. Now, that's what happened on that day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came in a great rush of wind, in a great movement of God among the people and those that were in the upper room. I was there a few years ago, the place where they believe the day of Pentecost happened, and the Holy Spirit came on the believers, 120 of them all gathered there. You know how the Lord came and began to speak through them. Pretty amazing sight. And so today is the finishing of the series that we've been doing on the armor of God, putting on the full armor of God. And you know, it's good to see the Criders back. Case had his first experience in Disney the last couple of weeks. So every day is Disney with him around, isn't it? Yeah, it is. But we're finishing up that series on putting on the full armor of God. And so we want to go through some of these last issues that Paul wants to talk to us about. You know, Heather and I went a week ago yesterday over to the first Saturday of the month of June over in New Wilmington. What is the first Saturday in the month of June in New Wilmington? What's that? Yes, the big auction. And the Amish folks are there, you know. Everybody's wearing blue shirts, all the guys. And the ladies, you know, are, it's wonderful. The donuts, Heather and I make sure we get there early. Donuts. I didn't get this shape by not liking donuts. Okay. But they are amazing, amazing. Just baked, warm. Give me a minute. We were over there, and I noticed that they all had the hats. They all kind of wear the same hats. And so a hat will tell you a lot about a person. It really will. When you're in the military, a hat will tell you what kind of rank you have, right? When you are a pilot, and a commercial pilot, you wear a particular kind of hat. A hat will tell you what branch of service you're in, right? A hat means a lot. A hat tells you a lot about a person. And so as we talk about these things today, especially the hat, we want to, again, just briefly want to tell you that we're concerned about growing as Christians. The priority of gathering together, the priority of growing together, that's why we're spending so much time in Ephesians chapter 6, we want to grow together as Christians and then take what we learn and move it into the world. So let's talk about this idea of the hat, the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. It's more than just a hat. It's more than just a hat. And it that salvation that you have that is put on by God is not something you can take off. You can't take it off. It becomes a part of who you are. For your salvation is held by the power of God and held by His strength. As I was taught growing up, you can kind of take it off and put it on. Take it off, and then the next revival comes and you put it back on. You get saved again. You know? Kind of like how many times you've been saved in your life. Oh, about 47. You know, that's how it was. But I've come to find out through Scripture and through the understanding of what God wants us to know in His Word, we are held strong. Our salvation is firm, not by our performance or how well we can perform as Christians. It's held by His power. That helmet of salvation will protect you always. You might not be in great shape, but that helmet will protect you always. Now, I told you last week that my son and my son-in-law are getting in great shape for the beach, man. They are getting in unbelievable shape. six packs, you know. I'd rather have a keg, I guess, than a six pack. But, you know, I've chosen definitely a different route to go in preparation for the beach. But, you know, being in shape doesn't really make any difference whether you're in shape or not. That helmet of salvation will protect you. It involves what we are putting not only on our head, but into our heads. There's a couple of scriptures I want us to look at here when it comes to this. Let's look at them. If you have your scriptures, let's go real briefly into it. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Hey, you guys know this passage. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. And here's the thing. Here's where the kind of the head comes in. Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world. As a church, as a Christian, you and I are not to guide our lives by the popular ideas of society. Can I get a witness? Amen. Right? Well, that's just not very tolerant. I love everybody. That's not the point. But Paul says here, don't conform yourself to what you see around you. Paul was really concerned about that, especially in the town of Corinth. There were people who had their own ideas about Christianity. But as Greeks, and Greeks were influencing all that was happening in that area of their time, they said the best way to know God is through knowledge. And the more you learn, the more you are enlightened, let's say, the more you learn in your mind, the closer to God you become. Paul said, that's crazy. If that were true, then the gospel of a cross, Jesus dying on a cross, doesn't make any sense. What's foolishness to man is the truth of God. So that's what happens in our world today. I'm not up here preaching against certain people and what was happening in Pittsburgh all this weekend. I'm not preaching against that. I love them. Love them all. But Paul says, and the scripture says, don't be conformed to what this world teaches you. Don't be conformed to what you see around us. Don't be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your, what? Mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So we don't get our influences by what's happening around us doing this. What's everybody saying is right now? Oh, that's right. Oh, okay. So I guess we're supposed to say that's right now. Oh, the Bible? The Bible's ancient history. Folks, this is as much the Word of God as it was in 60 AD when the Gospels were written. Truth doesn't change because the society says it's no longer bad. Right? Do we love every person? Yes. Do we love those who have fallen into terrible sins and difficult lives? Do we love those who are pedophiles? We love them in the church. Do we love those who have had terrible pasts where they've come from prison for murder and all these terrible things that have happened? Yes. Do we love people because they choose a different lifestyle than us? Yes. But you know what you get when you come here? You get the Word. And the Word says, I understand that not all of us think that way, truly, and I get it. And I'm telling you, I'm not preaching against people. I'm just saying what the Word says. Don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you're offended by that, folks, I am not going to apologize for it. But I'm just going to say it. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Wow. You know, I never talk about it. And here I am. Within a few weeks, I'm talking about it. Weird, huh? Chapter 4 of Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. See, that's the important thing, I guess, when it comes to those who disagree with you, is your gentleness. We don't stand up and beat the snot out of people who think different than us, right? Let your gentleness, that's not going to prove anything to anybody, except that you're a jerk. You disagree with me, so I'm going to beat the tar out of you. Oh, that's just great. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. It's so good. See, this is the other side. This is Paul's kind of the positive end of this. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Somebody give a testimony there. Amen, right? Oh, wow. All right. Secondly, he talks about the sword of the Spirit being the Word of God. Final word on the sword, the Holy Spirit. God's holy word that both defends and comes and cuts against that which stands against us, the sword of the Spirit. You know what's cool? And I put it in here too. Pentecost was the Lord giving the church his greatest weapon, his very Spirit. The weapon is his Spirit. Not you, not your abilities, not what you think, not where you stand politically, not any of that. The weapon is his Spirit. And God will never, that sword never gets dull. Right? This might, and boy is it. I'm going to read a couple of books, I think, while I'm on vacation. One I got for my birthday. I know, Father's Day. I got it early. So this might get dull, but the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, will never, ever get dull. Back to that. Sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit and the Word of God. See, that's what Paul says, you know, in that passage in Ephesians 6. He says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions. It is because of Pentecost. It is because of what happened on the day of Pentecost that we can have strength today as a church. It is because of the day of Pentecost and God's Spirit moving, and that God's Spirit is still moving in the church the way it did then. It really is, you know. And it's kind of a sad thing that so many of us have kind of given away the charismatic movement in the last 100 years, really. That charismatic movement, everybody's so afraid of it now, you know. You know, we sing that song, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here, come fill this place and, you know, flood the atmosphere. We're going, oh no, we're all going to get weird now, you know. Come on, nobody's getting weird. The Holy Spirit is moving among his people the way he always has moved. He's never changed. And I believe that the Spirit of God today in the church is more needed than it ever has been needed. Just as needed now. The Spirit of love and unity in the people of God. The Spirit of love and acceptance in the church is very, very important. We love you here. I don't know your backgrounds. I don't know where you've come from. I've had folks who live very different lives from me in my churches in the years. They've always felt loved. They always knew that no matter how they lived or the choices that they made, their pastor loved them. Treated them exactly the same as everybody else. Because that's how it's supposed to be. That's how the Spirit of God wants us to be in the world today. Pentecost, folks, is recognizing the Spirit moving among us, living with us. God wants us to be alert and praying for the church. God wants us to be alert and praying for the church. With that Spirit of God moving among us, we don't attack people, but rather we pray that the Lord will show us how we can be effective in tearing down the walls that the enemy has put up and in neutralizing the enemy in front of us. Not by beating them up, but tearing down the walls. You know the best way to tear down walls between yourself and someone else? Love them. It's pretty hard, you know, we keep some certain people we want to, keep certain people at arm's length. They can't keep you at arm's length when you're hugging them, can they? Mm-mm. They can't. Now, I know last week we talked about sometimes the best way to love people, sometimes they just can't, you know, is to... If, you know, as much as in you lies, live at peace with everyone. That's what we talked about last week. And sometimes the best way to live at peace with everyone, I have some family members like that, is just say, hi, how you doing, every once in a while. That's the best way to do it. But the best way to tear down walls among the people of God and among us in the world is not by keeping people at arm's length, but by loving them. Saying, you know what? I think you're pretty messed up. I think the choices you're making in your life are really bad. But I love you. You know why? Because sometimes in my life I make really bad choices too. I get it. That's what grace is about. But God wants us to be alert in these days. And He wants us to be praying for the church and for His people. Pentecost is about God moving among His people. And again, here's what Paul says in verse 18 of chapter 6. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests, with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. Lord, we got a long way to go. We're living in a weird world. No, it's just weird. I wish it wasn't weird, but it's just weird. Help us to not be weird and help us to be loving. And help us, Lord, to love people the way they are and to love them into the kingdom and to love them so that they will see the love of the Spirit of God and the love of the presence of God in us. We love you today. Teach us, Lord, how to love others better. And teach us, Lord, to be people who know that the helmet of salvation will always protect us. And help us, Lord, to know how to use the Word of God and the Spirit of God within us to be effective in tearing down walls with those around us. We love you, Father. We love you today with all we've got. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior. The people of God said,
God has given us all we need to live in this world. He has supplied work so we can find homes and places to live. He has supplied us with food and clothing to make us comfortable. Even when life is hard for us and we do not have work to supply us an easy life, God supplies through His people to the world. Let us give so others can live.
Thank you.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Father, how grateful we are to you for all that you do for us. You lead us, you direct us in every aspect of our lives. And Lord, as we have returned these offerings back to you, we pray that you would bless them over and over again, that the kingdom of God would flourish because you are blessing and touching our giving today. Be with us, Lord, we pray. We love you. We praise you for everything that you're doing. We give you thanks now through Christ our Lord. Amen and amen. Please be seated. What? No. Oh, Tommy has his medals. There they are right there. I didn't think you had them with you. Didn't even notice. There we are. Thank you, Tommy. You want to help serve communion? That's great. Would the servers come up forward, please? I think I saw them starting to get ready. I do want to tell you, we had a very amazing, faith-filled session meeting on Wednesday night. Pretty amazing. What God is doing among us. And God has been blessing. God has been blessing the giving of the church. God has been blessing us as we have grown and see new things happening. But there have been a lot of things through some difficult lean years that have needed to be done. And Scott is not with us this morning, but he called it deferred maintenance. And I think that's probably it. Plenty of things that you'll begin to see taking place in the church that kind of have needed to be done for a little while, and there was quite a bit of faith moving forward as we spent a lot of funds carefully this past Wednesday. You'll be hearing more about beautification and about how we want to help to beautify the church even more and take the steps necessary to move the church forward in a beautiful way and kind of updating some things. And we're very grateful. I'm grateful to all of them who are on the session members. Will you session members stand? There we are. There's a couple of you. Thank you. I don't know why it takes a minute or two. It's like, okay. Yeah, thank you guys. We really appreciate the work you're doing. Okay, if you'll come forward, okay. Let us enter together into our time of worship and celebration of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, Jesus said, for they will be filled. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy immortal one, have mercy on us. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. We give our thanks to the Lord our God. Shall we pray? Father, it is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise. You are the eternal God, the creator and ruler of the universe. You are our God, and we are the creatures of your hand. You made us from the dust of the earth, breathed into us the breath of life, and set us in your world to love and serve you. When we rejected your love and ignored your spirit among us, you did not reject us, but you loved us and called us to turn again to you in obedience and in love. And on the day of Pentecost, your love was shared among us.